Welcome back into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples talking today with Robin Cole, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health. And the Crisis Stabilization Center is getting closer and closer to an opening date. And as I understand, you're hiring right now.
We are. Construction is a little bit ahead of schedule, and we're looking at completion the first week of October. We started posting for positions and open up for applications on September 6th. And then I think that, you know, you know, of course, that on September 11th, we had a legislative mental health tour that ended at the Crisis Stabilization Center here in Manhattan. That was really exciting for us. There were approximately 30 state legislators and their staff who did a three-day tour of significant inpatient, residential, and other kinds of mental health service organizations throughout the state. Our representatives, which included Representative Troy Waymaster, Susan Concannon, Sidney Carlin, and Senator Tom Hawk, were all on that legislative mental health tour. And it was a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to talk with these legislators about mental health in general and crisis stabilization in particular. So I was very impressed by their level of interest and involvement and the kind of commitment that just getting on a bus for 3 days, you know, with a group of legislators really entailed.
Yeah, and as I understand from that trip, there was some talks that, you know, how much this is going to take the burden off of the state centralized hospitals, as we talked earlier.
Yes.
But also maybe a push for Medicaid expansion in 2020.
There was a lot of discussion about Medicaid expansion. And part of that does tie in, well, I think part of it is that we've been talking about it at the state for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been really any movement on that issue at the state level. But there seems to be a different kind of energy around the issue today. And as we even look at the Crisis Stabilization Center, for example, when we were putting together the budget and taking a look at what kind of a financial commitment we needed from the state in order to make this happen, we started by taking a look at the number of people who would have health insurance that would pay for the service that they receive by staying at the Crisis Stabilization Center. And I think what most members of the public and of the legislature perhaps don't realize is that commercial health insurances don't pay for this level of care. Commercial insurances will pay for outpatient therapy. They will pay for a visit to a psychiatrist or an advanced practice registered nurse to do a medication evaluation. They will pay for hospitalization, but commercial insurances do not pay for crisis stabilization. And so that piece of the package that is being in the facility overnight, being attended to by case managers or the residential mental health technicians, is not paid for by commercial insurance. Medicaid is the only payer that pays for that service. And so when we were preparing our budget, what we had to look at was the estimated number of people who would use that facility who have Medicaid. And it was surprisingly low. We looked at figures for the people that we did screens on. And a screen is just an assessment that we do where we determine what the person's situation is and what level of care they need when they're in an acute kind of a crisis. And sometimes those screens result in recommendations that they go to the hospital on a voluntary basis. Sometimes the screens recommend that they go to the hospital on an involuntary basis. Sometimes the screens result in recommending just diversion back into the community because that individual really can be stabilized in the home. Well, our surprise was that in 1 year, only a little over 23% of everybody we screened in an emergency had Medicaid. And the following year, we were just as surprised, although we probably shouldn't have been after that that one-year assessment, that it was just a little over 24% of the people that we screened had Medicaid. Most people had commercial insurance, which means they were either working or they were married to somebody who was working or they were the child of somebody who was working. And so what that did was it gave us some kind of a sense of the individuals who might then use the Crisis Stabilization Center, because those crisis screens are the entry point for admission to the Crisis Stabilization Center, because those are the individuals who at that point in time are in the greatest need for some kind of an intervention or service. So the budget we put together for the state estimated that only about 24% of all of the people that utilize the service are going to have Medicaid, which then means that the state has to fund it more fully than it would if there were an expansion of the Medicaid program. So I think even considering those kinds of dynamics is an important part of the discussion that the state is having about whether or not to expand Medicaid in the state of Kansas. And I do think it's important to also point out that it indicates that the individuals who potentially are going to use this facility aren't all just people in poverty. More of the people who are going to use this facility, at least based on the screens that we've done for the last couple of years, are going to be people who do have health insurance. It's just that their health insurance isn't going to pay for this level of care like Medicaid will.
Yeah, well, that's interesting clarification on that, because I'm not sure a lot of people have made that connection there. As far as you gave another tour recently here.
We did, and this was sort of a I don't know if you'd call it a stealth tour, but the lieutenant governor was in Manhattan last Friday and toured the facility. We heard from his office on Thursday that he wanted to come over and take a look at what was going on, and so we were delighted to be able to give a tour to Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers of the Crisis Stabilization Center. And again, we were really delighted with his level of interest and also just the knowledge that he obviously possessed when he came in and toured the facility. So we were really delighted to be able to play host to him. So we're moving along. We had a punch list walkthrough yesterday, so we were taking a look at what all the loose ends are. We're expecting to take possession of the space itself the end of next week, and then after that we're looking for the delivery of furniture and appliances and all the supplies. We're currently scheduled, or we're scheduling, I should say, a ribbon-cutting ceremony for October 18th, which is a Friday. We're still sort of in last stages of working through the details with Secretary Laura Howard's schedule. And once we know those final details of her schedule, we'll be able to announce when our ribbon-cutting will be. But we're moving in towards that that Friday afternoon, October 18th. And then, barring unforeseen circumstances, our hope would be that we would be able to accept first individuals for services around October 21st. So, of course, stuff happens between now and then, and we won't probably know until we get a lot closer to that date, but that October 21st date is coming up real quick.
Yeah, and you know, access there is a little bit challenging right now with the sinkhole.
It is, and I think most people in the community know that that there is no access to the crisis stabilization facility from the south because we're on Hayes Drive and there's a sinkhole on the south end of Hayes Drive. And so folks are going to have to come in from the north. I nearly forgot that this morning when I was on my way here to the radio station. So, and I don't know what the what the timeline is for having that repaired.
It's going to be a long time. I know that. They haven't really put a set timeline on that just yet. Real quickly, you have a fundraiser also on October 10th.
We do. You know, we've spent the last couple of years just talking in the community about the important role that philanthropy plays in supporting community mental health. And so on October 10th, we'll be hosting our first annual private fundraiser. It's called Driving the Dream, Responding to Needs. And I would just say that if there are individuals in the community that are interested in attending this this fundraiser, they should contact Di Henricks at pawnee.org really as soon as possible, because we're counting heads at this point.
Okay. Robin Cole, Executive Director of Pawnee Mental Health, thank you for coming in, and we'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good.
That'll do it here for In Focus today. Tomorrow we'll be talking RCPD, and we'll have Captain Josh Kyle filling in for Director Dennis Butler.
All right, Brandon, good work this morning. Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, The Game, and the Chris Kleiman Show's on K-Man tonight at 7.